if she comes back? What if there's no way of moving back? What when your face falls apart? Have you got enough time?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange, hosted by Vance Pollock.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight into the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go into the field to investigate. I'm Vance Pollock, your host, joined, as per usual, by Miss Shelley Wright. How are you, Shelley?
Great. It's good to be back. How are you guys?
Absolutely. It's been way too long.
Way. And
Sam the Animal Steel.
Hi.
How you doing, Sam?
I'm just a L-I-V-I-N.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yay.
And
I can't see him for the plant.
We brought a couple elves in here with us. One by the name of... Christian McLeod. How are you, Christian?
I'm awesome. Thanks for asking.
All right. Your buddy Tiny here. Daniel called Tiny. Daniel, what's your given surname, sir?
Last name's Hurst.
Daniel Hurst and Christian McLeod are joining us today. Good friends of the JPW inner circle. Yeah, you guys.
Love the JPW. Wouldn't be here without them.
Good guy. And I'm glad to have you around, Christian, because I feel like under my tenure, Speaking of Strange has neglected the cryptids a little bit. We'll get some crypto content going tonight. You're a believer. Would you say so?
I wasn't going to mention anything, but yes, sir, I am. Definitely. But I'm a believer in the reality of cryptids. I don't think they go in and out of dimensions or they mind speak. I think they're actual living creatures that just have gone undetected, or they're detected by specific people and agencies that don't want us to know about them, the regular people, for reasons that I think parallel the financial, pretty much.
And being a believer and dealing with the general public, I guess you're used to a lot of rolled eyes and
constantly
dismissal and stuff like that.
Things thrown at me. Wife makes me sleep on the couch.
We're gonna give you a chance to state your case, because I know even when we were sitting down with Joshua in recent weeks, he kind of pokes and prods, and he wants to even throw the extra dimensional.
I love Josh to death, but he's insane. There's just no way. It's no. I say no. Drop the hammer.
And it's been long enough that things are developing over around Nevermore Mystical Arts, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. You better get by there in the next couple weeks, do some Christmas shopping. Absolutely.
Yeah. Next week, Friday, is the last day of the physical store. The website is now up. You can shop 24/7. Lots of fun. Very exciting. It's gorgeous. Go check it out.
And the web address is
nevermoremysticalarts.com.
nevermoremysticalarts.com. There is no period after the never or the more or the mystical or the arts.
No.
Is it capitalized?
No, all lowercase.
Nevermore Mystical Arts. Yeah, it's a paranormal boutique.
Yes.
And you can actually be in the brick and mortar For the next week.
If you come into the brick and mortar, things are on sale. If you go online, they are not, sadly. But
our friend Missy Hill was posting some great pics of some Thor's hammers.
Yeah.
You've got men and women's,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen's Thor's hammers there.
You still have some fabulous jewelry. People should come in.
Very
and,
cool.
And get a t-shirt from the Asheville Cryptid Society. You know, celebrate our furry people.
Do we know anybody involved in that?
I've heard they're very intelligent and good-looking people running that specific organization.
Christian McLeod, the cat's out of the bag. Shelley brought it up.
You got merch over at Nevermore Mystical Arts for the Asheville Cryptid Society.
I have T-shirts there, and I was lucky enough that Shelley D. Wright allowed me to sell them there. And I'm very grateful for that. Thank you, Shelley.
He's very proud to do that. And you will see the banner probably displayed on the Nevermore website. You do that, right?
I do now.
Ooh.
Christian reminds me of a good friend of mine from high school. I know this about him already. He's a nicknamer. He likes to give people special.
You know why I do that, honestly, Vance? Because half the time I can't remember something. I'm just not that bright. Honestly, I fake it pretty well, but I'm not that bright. So I tiny. All right.
Oh, yeah.
He's almost 7 foot.
Yeah,
he's pushing 500 pounds.
You got to look at this guy over here.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, he's a bear. And tiny.
In a good way.
Well, no, he's one of my best friends. I love him to death, but I mean, it's fun. We'll go into like Wing House or something like that. And I know they're praying that we don't get the all you can eat buffet when I walk in there because they're like, oh, Jesus, what is that? Oh, my God, we're going to put more wings on. And we just walk in and, you know, say, Tiny and I need a booth. And they just look at me like we're crazy or something. It's just funny. It's just a play on names.
Christian usually tells them I need a salad.
Oh, gosh. Shelley D. Wright. We don't hear that.
Well, usually you hear. Say it. Usually you leave the D out. You used to say.
Shelley Wright.
Yes, every sentence is.
Shelley Wright.
We're going to popularize the notion that D stands for.
Dangerous. So dangerous.
Dangerous.
He has a theme song for me.
Shelley Dangerous Wright.
It's good. It's good marketing. How are you going to forget dangerous? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I wear it well.
It does, yes.
So we might get around to Shelley's theme song, Dangerous.
So Dangerous.
It's going to be a fun night. It's like a little pre-Christmas party, and maybe we'll get things back on the rails and knock out a couple more shows before the new year, but Christmas is closing in. We gotta give a nod to the Krampus and... the Christmas lads, the Yuletide lads up in Iceland, and the trolls and goblins and spooks of Christmas. People don't realize that, but in almost every other global Christmas tradition, there are bad guys. In the American Christmas tradition, we don't really have like a villain.
You're not going to market
Christmas
a villain. How are you going to market a villain on Christmas?
I mean, Darth Vader with a Santa hat, you know?
I mean, I would buy that.
Sure.
I mean, that's kind of cool. Now I'm kind of wanting a Darth Vader with a Santa hat.
You can
find those.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've got them. But yeah, we traditionally don't have like the Christmas villain. We have the threat of switches and coal in your stocking if you're a bad kid, but
ooh, I had an aunt that gave me coal and I was really great kid. Never wrote to her again. Her loss.
She just did that teasingly, thought it was funny, or she was mean.
No, she wanted an nephew. Mean.
Those mean aunts that give you coal at Christmas.
Very mean.
Maybe she was related to Grýla, the Christmas troll from Iceland.
Oh, I would definitely call her a troll.
Wow. Is this your mom's sister or your dad's sister?
Dad's half-sister.
Oh, okay.
So we don't talk about
her. Only half-troll on your dad's side. Nice.
All troll. Half-sister, all troll.
Well, everybody knows that Icelandic trolls turn to stone if they're caught in the daylight. But in the winter, there's so little daylight that they can roam virtually, you know, unaffected,
and send parcels
24
to their nieces
hours
in America.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the midnight sun. It's the all around 24/7 dark, and the trolls just roam the countryside. Now, Grýla, the mother of the Christmas Yuletide lads up there in Iceland, she's a full on troll. She's cloven hoofed and horns. And she carries away little bad children and boils them and eats them.
Like the Krampus?
Does the Krampus do that? Yeah.
Well, I don't remember the boiling part. I remember the taking the kids away and eating them.
Yeah.
The bad ones. But I don't remember the boiling part. That's kind of...
Did Krampus eat kids?
Yeah.
Huh.
Kidnapped the bad ones and ate them.
Grýla's such a nasty troll that she kind of does a Black Widow thing with her husband. She's had several troll husbands that she's cannibalized over the years, but they have 13 offspring, and they're the Yuletide lads, and they're kind of mischievous. I don't think they have a taste for human flesh like their mother, but they go around in the days preceding Christmas and cause mischief in the households. There's one particularly called Door Slammer, and guess what he does in the middle of the night leading up to Christmas? He slams doors, yeah. And Meat Hook is one that will use a hook to steal smoked meat out of the meat house through the chimney. And there's what are some of the other? Ladle Licker. These are translations. They don't. Yeah, but
I wonder what
licker,
that one does.
Licker.
Tiny, what do you want to be, Meat Hook or Ladle Licker?
I think I'll go with Meat Hook.
Yeah, Meat Hook is pretty vicious. Name. I got to play Stekjastuir, which is basically
spell it.
Stick legs or stiff legged guy. He's the probably the tallest of the Icelandic Yuletide lads, and he walks with stiff legs. I guess the cold up there and the arthritis or what have you, the rheumatism. But Stekjastuir went to visit a bunch of young school kids. That was Vance in the guise of Stekjastuir. And I visited with the kids and danced around with the kids, and it was a great time. And then it was time for the trolls. Another friend of mine was dressed up as well. And it was time for us to leave the little Christmas party at the school and go back up to the mountains. And there was a mountain, a ridge behind the school where we were living out in the countryside, and it was covered in ice and snow at the time. And when the Yuletide lads left and we started walking off as if we were going back to the mountains, going back up the mountain, the teachers and the principal kept the kids outside watching us.
Ah.
So we kept walking like we're going back up the mountain, looking back over our shoulder, waiting for them to take the kids back inside. And they kept the kids out there for like 15 minutes until we actually had to climb this mountain and disappear over the crest of this mountain. And then when I came back down the other side, on the back side of the school and down this mountain, I decided it would be a good idea. Well, I didn't really think it out. I don't guess I would have thought it was a good idea. I didn't think is what I did, but I just sat down and slid down the side of this mountain. And there are rocks and chunks of ice under there. So I was bruised for some time. And my wife, I don't think she's ever laughed so hard at me. She certainly never laughed at anything I did intentionally to be funny. We'll put it that way. This is Speaking of Strange, and we're going to talk a lot about the strangeness of the season with Chris McLeod and our good friend Tiny Hurst. We'll be right back.
welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Vance Pollock. It is Joshua P. Warren speaking of strange, but Joshua P. Warren's off doing Joshua P. Warren things. Last I heard, he was winning out in Las Vegas. He says that he invested 25 cents and, what, he cash out $570 or something?
I thought it was 250.
It was over 500.
I think it's like 525 or something like that. Yeah.
I saw the ticket. He posted his cash out ticket, and he said, "This is not bad for 25 cent investment."
No, it's pretty good.
Very good.
I'm gonna help pay Sally May off.
I guess he was using the money sigil.
I guess so.
He's talked up the money sigil, and who knows? Folks can go to joshuapwarren.com. No period after the P, by the way.
No.
joshuapwarren.com and look for signs of the sigils, because Josh has generated a number of original sigils. We talked about it when he was back in the studio a while back, but pretty impressive stuff and potent. We've got a lot of feedback from folks who have been using Joshua's sigils, and he doesn't claim, you know, to have sigils that will cure cancer or anything ridiculous like that. It's for amusement, but people are getting results, so you know the proof is in the pudding. And I think a money sigil sure can't hurt if you're going out gambling, or if you if you're looking at being broke for New Year, kind of like me. By the time Christmas is over, I'll be back to zero. So maybe I need to start carrying the money sigil around, contemplating the money sigil for 45 seconds.
Sleep with it under my pillow.
Yeah.
It's just a cool word, though, Vance, if you think about sigil.
Sigil.
It's just a cool word.
It looks cool. It's good stuff. So we're going to get Christian and Tiny to talk a little bit about cryptids. Of course, the rage is all the Bigfoot hunters, and and with Christmas we can talk a little bit about Yetis and abominable snowmen.
I brought one.
Just made show
him,
and tail.
Made him shave a little bit.
Well, you know, you got to let him walk around society.
And then we can probably talk about some of the local.
Oh yeah, sure.
Some of the local favorites. We did a show a couple months back where I talked a little bit about big cats in the Carolinas.
Cherokee death cat.
Do you have any
I've
insight
actually
on
taken
that?
A report on one of those, Cherokee death cat.
Ever seen any tracks or signs that lead you to believe there may be cougars or mountain lions still in the Carolinas?
Well, I'm a firm believer there's probably still catamounts.
Mm-hmm.
So cougars.
Right.
If people go out in the woods, for lack of a better term, I mean, because that's what I call them, the sticks. The stuff you see out there, I mean, I don't think people realize how vast a wilderness really is still. You know, I saw this report that the country is still 86% intact the way we originally got here. So that means literally 15-16% has been developed and the rest is still all natural. So, I mean, that's a lot of space. So if you think about it that way, there's still a lot of stuff out there. I mean, you know, we can go 3 miles out here and disappear. You
right.
know, anyone can. So I think that the space is definitely vast enough for probably cougars, probably a whole breeding population, and no one would even see it. I mean, you know, Florida, they thought the Florida panther was extinct for like 20 years. And all of a sudden, Field and Stream guy's out there, and he's looking around, and all of a sudden, boom, there's a panther. So
yeah, I would have to agree with you. There's still enough wild space to allow for a little bit of a migration mm-hmm. pattern, even if they're just passing through. That seems to be the thing. I've talked to a number of people who are not, you know, the sort to sensationalize, very rational and otherwise skeptical people who say that they have seen black panthers and heard the screams of these animals here in the mountains.
See, it wouldn't surprise me, Vance, but you know what I always do? And like any time I get a cryptid report or any kind of new sighting report, I always check Cherokee mythology to see if there's a history of that particular cryptid or animal in the Cherokee folklore database,
right.
pretty much. And if there's something that matches that, then chances are it's probably real. They've been here forever. I mean, you know, 12,000, 14,000 years. So if there's anything out there, they've seen it. And, you know, that's why I think that's probably the best resource any cryptozoologist could have is the Native Americans in the area. And only a fool would probably walk away from that and say, oh, they don't know what they're talking about.
One term that you'll hear people use for wildly out-of-place animals, animals who are not even indigenous to this continent appearing or being sighted, is phantom.
Phantomals?
Yeah. Or in the case of baboons that were spotted around Charlotte in the late 70s, phantom baboons. In Biltmore Village, and Shelley, I suppose you talk about it on the Biltmore Village haunted tour.
We do.
A phantom kangaroo.
Mm-hmm.
It was there, it was seen by dozens of people, and then it was gone.
And then it disappeared.
What do you think of these phantomals?
Well, I don't want to step on anyone's toes here, but I think the phantomals can probably be explained by, you know, exotic pets, maybe a zoo, someone brought in a kangaroo.
Occam's razor.
Yeah, something. Exactly.
The most reasonable explanation.
I'm just not buying that a phantom kangaroo jumps from a vortex, lands in Biltmore Village. Hey, how you doing? I'm a phantomal. Pushes a button, vortex opens, he's out again. It's more likely that being so close to Biltmore State, it was probably some kind of exotic pet. I don't doubt the veracity of the animal being there. What I do doubt is that it jumped transdimensionally somewhere.
Right.
I mean, it's kangaroo. If everyone sees a kangaroo, then that means there's a kangaroo there.
I think the story that we don't know, the backstory, is probably even more interesting than
it is
through a wormhole, you know?
Well, you know, they raise a lot of kangaroo. Kangaroo leather is huge. I mean, you know, who's to say they weren't going to start a kangaroo farm to, you know, for leather or
my dad said during World War II they were on a troop transport that the last time it had restocked was in Australia, and they had kangaroo meat.
Yeah.
You know, during the war. I mean, I guess in desperate conditions you'll eat anything. So yeah, they were eating kangaroo meat.
It might be good. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tastes like chicken. Of course. There you go. Tiny's had it.
Oh yeah. Wallaby.
Kookaroo.
Just, you know how guys can sometimes be cruel just for the sake of it or just to shock people? I don't know if you've had this experience or not, but I was always a sort of kid that would say whatever it took to outrage people. And one of the things that we used to have going on was what kind of animal would you like to punch? And I used to talk about punching wallabies, punching koala bears, and
kittens.
Things like that.
I'd punch a kitten.
That I think punching kittens is a little too pedestrian. I wanted to punch exotic animals. Punch like an exotic animal and offend the most people.
If I wanted to offend someone, I'd start talking. But
the snowy owls.
A snow leopard. punch a baby snow leopard. A baby snow leopard. Like where he's just starting to open his eyes. Like for the first time he's seeing the world. He looks over and there's mom. Boom. That's my strike.
I wouldn't let
that's when I get him.
I would not let you punch a baby snow
all
leopard.
All he hears is meow. What the hell was that?
Me and my son, we like the Peruvian Mystery Jaguar, just because it sounds like a great title, but there is such a thing as a Peruvian Mystery Jaguar.
I knew there's Peruvian blue stuff, but I know there's a Peruvian.
Mystery Jaguar.
That's awesome.
We were we were just looking through a book of paranormal oddities. I think I passed it on to you, Shelley. There was a lady who had just put together like a glossary of paranormal terms, and it had a chapter on cryptids, and I was just reading down the list, and some of the stuff sounded so outrageous. Peruvian Mystery Jaguar. Don't know what it is, but it sounds cool.
The only thing I've ever heard about there, they had like a Peruvian blue giant iguana that would terrorize people.
Giant as in?
Like mass dinosaur size. That's all I've ever heard about anything out there.
There's a lot of strange stuff out there.
South America, man.
And we're going to have a couple more hours to talk about it before the Dark 30, so hang tight. We're going to talk with Christian and Daniel about some weird beasts and why they believe. Coming back after the break here on Speaking of Strange. That's what we do here on a Saturday night in the mountains of North Carolina. If it's cold out, don't matter. We just hunker down in the studio. Hunker down was one of those expressions that got very, very much overused this last hurricane season. Folks down in Florida were hunkered down like nobody's business. But that's another story. Hopefully, we don't see too many more cold spells this winter. We survived on bread and milk for a couple days last week, but I think I don't know. Maybe the weather gods are going to be good to us. I think just listening to the old farmers and the people who watch the weather that we may be in for some. A rough ride the next couple of months. What do you think, Christian? You want to give us a weather forecast? A farmer's almanac broadcast?
I think it's going to be a cold winter, Vance. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get hammered. Just because we haven't been in a while. Then we're due.
Are you ready, Shelley?
Not really. The last snowstorm where we got hammered, most people had no idea. I bought extra groceries. I was ready. But most people weren't.
I'm not so much worried about myself in cold weather. I will survive, but especially when I have to be out there on the road, I'm concerned about other people driving. I heard an expression the other day. It seems obvious enough, but I had never heard the expression Floridiot before.
Really?
Really?
I've never heard Floridiot.
How is that even possible?
I mean, it's not very original. I mean, I don't know why I didn't come up with that, but I've never heard Floridiot. I guess people are just too nice because they know I'm from Florida and I'm big. And if they said Floridiot in front of me, they would think I would punch him like a baby snow leopard.
Who's just opening his eyes for the first time. You keep forgetting
that's
that.
A floor dumbass thing to say.
Floor dumbass. There you go. Christian. There's another one. Yeah, we've got way too much Florida in this room. Florida.
USF, baby.
Hey, that's where my dad got his PhD.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get a PhD there. I barely got a degree out of there.
Wow.
They asked me. They were nice enough not to ask me to leave early.
Well, we're going to trash our home state the third hour tonight.
Excellent.
I can almost, I don't know. I haven't, having not even skim the material to see how many Florida stories we have. I'm just confident saying that we're going to have Florida stories.
Well, when you look on the news, who does that little podcast where it's like everything bad happens in Florida? And there's like,
I think they just list
like stupid people in Florida or something like that. I think that's what it's called.
I want to be transparent with listeners. We do not intentionally set out to bash Florida. It just so happens that Florida has so many of these stories. Dave Barry said it's because if you just look at the United States and imagine dropping a bunch of little white mice on the United States, all the mice at some point would wander down into this peninsula, which is Florida, and only the really dumb mice couldn't find their way out.
I have to say, though, Vance, Florida was really good to me. I lived there for 25 years. I was born in Maine.
Okay.
I call it Northern Appalachia, just for safety reasons around here. But we moved to Florida, and you know, I went to high school, middle school, college, Florida. Met my wife down there. So, I mean, Florida was really good to me. It was
what town?
Tampa.
Yeah.
And my wife's from Sarasota.
Did we talk about this? You knew I was from Lakeland?
No.
Sam's from, over around Bradenton?
Clearwater.
Bradentucky?
Safety Harbor.
Safety Harbor. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, it was good to me, and I had a good time while I was down there, and, you know, my mom and my stepdad are still there, and my wife's family are still down there. But realistically, it's just gotten so bad. It's, like, so congested now. It's just crazy.
Well,
every time we
here?
Go down there.
I mean, did you see the traffic the other day?
Or yeah, I was in that. And I tell you, it's still better than what downtown Tampa is. Malfunction Junction.
I don't know. There's more ways around things in Florida. There's more cut through a neighborhood.
If you know where you're going.
Right.
Tampa is an old Indian word for under construction.
Well, Tampa's got something. Now you got New Tampa, and you hear what they did to Ybor. You can't drive in Ybor anymore.
What?
From what I understand, they closed the roads.
Hmm.
I thought that's what they either did that or they're doing that.
What, not just like down 7th Avenue?
Yeah, no, I thought they were closing it all. That's what I was under the impression. I could be 100% wrong.
I would think that there would at least have to be some.
Well, I mean, I love
some streets right off the interstate, right off I-4 there. But I can imagine them like closing down a couple of the streets and making it kind of like a French Quarter sort of thing down 7th Avenue and all that.
Ybor's where I get my respect for cigars and Cuban cuisine and the Cuba Vera shirt. God bless that Cuba Vera. I must have 5 or 6 of them. I can't fit into them right now. But
I remember Ybor before the patina was sandblasted off of it, and it was improved.
Going to Columbia?
Quote, unquote.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Ybor's just awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they like invented the small microbrew, like Ybor Gold. That was like the first time I'd ever seen anyone in a city do like a small brewery.
Yeah, that's right. Ybor Gold. That's right. That was pretty cutting edge stuff. And as Sam mentioned during the break, Florida, as far as animals goes,
oh crazy.
Florida's got just about all of it. And we're talking about like exotic pets that
snakes,
gone wild, those snakes down in the Everglades.
Did you see that
man,
one?
That's
what was scary. 17-foot python, was that what it was, Sam? Did you
Holy
see that
smokes.
Thing? It said it could kill any man it got a hold of.
I saw that. We did that thing on the alligator that was like 22-foot or something. Remember that had the deer, the whole deer in its mouth? They took the picture from
Good
the helicopter.
Grief. Yeah.
I used to own a landscaping business down there. It was just myself, and I do a couple like little houses and some complexes and stuff. And the only time I ever thought I was going to just get, like, I can't think of anything more primeval than getting eaten. Like, that's how you check out. You get eaten. And I was mowing the lawn near the water line, and I had an alligator attack my lawnmower and took it into the drink with it.
Oh, my word.
I was out. See you, bye.
I was telling Vance one time, I was like, you know, only in Florida where you take a class of third graders to Moccasin Lake Park, and only in Florida would you be like, come on, kids, just go outside and play with the alligator. Mm-hmm. We would throw rotten oranges at the alligator for fun in Grandpa's backyard, and every day it would cross the street over my aunt and uncle's backyard. Nobody thought anything of it, you know, and they just let us play outside and throw fruit at an alligator, which in retrospect seems rather dangerous.
We used to try hitting them with on the golf course, like there'd be some in the Palmetto. I can't remember the name of the golf course out there, but they had that big alligator out there. We used to try hitting it with golf balls. I mean, everyone did. That's how you warmed up.
Now, my dad talks about when he was a kid down there that his grandpa would catch like a 3-4 foot alligator when he was out fishing and bring it home and like stake it in the yard for a few days, and you would just have like this alligator steak to a peg out in the front yard, and the kids would just go out there and play with it for a few days, and then they'd get bored with it, and he'd take it and put it back in the lake. But yeah, so you actually have a pet wild
dinosaur
alligator in the front yard for a couple of days. I remember doing that with the gopher tortoises.
Turtles are different.
We would get one of these old tortoises. Man, those are majestic. I love the gopher tortoise. And we would find those out in the orange grove, and we'd bring them up to the house, and we'd put cinder blocks around and build them a little pen and keep them in there and feed them lettuce for a few days. And then, okay, it's time to let the gopher go, and we'd take him back down, turn him loose in the woods. But
so you were kidnapping.
Yeah. I guess they're pretty endangered. You're not supposed to. Yeah. Well, I mean,
thanks, Vance.
They
were you
they
trudging through
the
seagrass to do that too?
I was feeding him sea oats.
He was going through the seagrass with Roundup.
Punching baby gopher tortoises in the
stealing
sea oats.
Them waiting from their mothers.
Waiting for them to come out of that shell, and there's Vance. Boom. Teach you to look at the world. If you find a baby dolphin, I'm going to hit that.
Never happened. Disclaimer, never happened. Animal meanness, well, maybe spraying the cats with a water hose.
Pete is going to be looking for you, Vance.
Come on. I think we're gradually working our way up to the elephant in the room, which is Sasquatch. Now, people want to know about Sasquatch.
So we're going to talk about Tiny.
No, not that elephant in the room.
I can leave the room if I need to.
I didn't mean any offense by calling you the elephant in the room, Tiny. But we are working our way around to that. Do you remember the story from a couple years back? I don't remember what county. It may have been Burke County, but it was down there near some national forest land, and there was a fellow that said Bigfoot was coming up around his trailer because it was attracted to his dogs in heat. Did you hear that story?
I have heard that one, but my favorite all-time favorite one is the gentleman wearing the blue T-shirt and the hat, and I want to say it was like Barnesville or more. Did you ever see this one? And he, they're interviewing him, and they say, "Will you please describe him?" And he goes, "Well, he was big, but he had beautiful hair." And he starts doing this, like running his fingers through his hair, and just sits there and talks about how beautiful Bigfoot's hair was. And how he had to rough talk him and used a stick to get him away from his chickens. So that was my favorite one like that. But I can see that happening as far as...
Here in Carolina, Bigfoot wears a fine mullet. We'll talk a little more about it after the break. Speaking of strange.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care. But when I need you, baby,
you're never there.
On WWNC 570 AM and around the globe on the internet at speakingofstrange.com. Be sure to go by and check out the podcast. We've got a backlog of incredible content that we've done over this past. It's been almost a year, Shelley, since I took the reins. That's crazy.
Already?
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does.
It's cliche, but it's true.
When you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, like getting evil spirits after you for breaking dates. And yeah, please, yeah, don't stand up your spirit dates. If you got a date with them, you got to make it. Just don't let weather.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like that Led Zeppelin song about standing. Yeah, fool in the rain. Where you're just caught on the wrong block in bad weather in the yeah.
Is she still bothering you?
Well, no, I think she just kind of gave up on me. But she knows that my heart's in the right place, and eventually we'll resolve this thing.
I
think she's got something to say, or she wouldn't have chased after. You don't know that we're still on the trail, Christian, of Joshua's lost great uncle. Okay. Uncle Claude had a photograph taken, say, 1935 with Josh's great-grandfather and some of the other family, and they'd been out rabbit hunting or squirrel hunting, and they posed for a photo with their game, and when they got the picture developed, Claude's head was not there. Not as in old photographs where somebody turns their head real quick and it's blurred, but his head was just not there. Everything else was in perfect focus, but you could see the leaves on the tree behind where his head should be. It just wasn't there. And within a short time, Claude Calloway disappeared.
It was like a month
nobody,
or so.
Nobody knows what happened to Claude Calloway.
Predator.
He's eaten by Bigfoot.
No, he's a predator.
He is a predator.
He's a predator. He's got the suit.
He's a strange case. One of Josh's earliest true stories of the unexplained from his family lore. And I won't give it up until we find out, until we resolve what happened to Claude.
Bad habits? Was like Uncle Claude a gambler or a womanizer? Or had like two families and just had to choose?
He had a couple failed marriage. Well, he had a wife who had died, and then he had another failed marriage and kids that were adopted out. It was not best situation. Yeah. We didn't know all this. I'm learning more about the guy. The first time we heard the story, and I think Josh believed as well, that Claude was just a young guy who had never left the farm, you know. But he had lived in Asheville. As a matter of fact, he worked at the Coffin Factory, National Casket Factory out here in Woodfin in Asheville. I found him in like the 1920 census, and he's working at the Casket Factory. Which is pretty cool.
You know what, though, Vance? Back then, you could disappear.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have DNA. They didn't have any of that stuff. So,
that's
like,
right.
He could have gone to South Carolina and started over.
He could have totally vanished.
But you would have found him, because you can find anybody.
I've found people in other countries who vanished around that time. So I feel like I would have found some sign. I think Claude Calloway died shortly after he vanished, or he went away and killed himself. And that was my latest thought, because the nudge I kept getting as I was bearing down on Claude Calloway is that it was suicide. And a lot of clues, a lot of psychic hunches lead me to believe that Claude Calloway disappeared and offed himself.
That's pretty sad. You think maybe different country or something like that, but you really think he just killed himself?
Yeah, I believe so. And I think where they lived out there around Barnardsville, there were many places he could have done it. I mean, heck, he could have just jumped off a cliff somewhere and nobody would have ever found the body.
There are Bigfoot reports from Barnardsville. You never know.
Yeah, Claude Calloway, he could have been one of those fine-haired Bigfoots, right?
Could have been lunch. Could have been one of David Pilati's missing 411 types.
You recommend that people check out Sasquatch Sighting in North Carolina. That's the title on YouTube.
I love that guy.
Because he had to rough talk.
I had to rough talk. And that's me imitating him. I hope. Don't take any offense. I just love that guy.
No, I mean, for amusement purposes, that's what Speaking of Strange is here to do. We're here to amuse. If there's truth behind your amusement, then that's just a bonus. Sasquatch sighting in North Carolina. And that's the title of the short clip on YouTube. And I think listeners might enjoy that. I'm going to take a look at it during the break, and maybe we'll...
Listeners, please, just look at it. You'll love it.
Sasquatch sighting in North Carolina. And that's from one of the cable shows, right?
You know what? I think he's been on something, but I don't know the gentleman's name, and I feel bad because as much as I've seen that, I should, because I've like watched that probably 15, 20 times just because I couldn't believe he was saying what he was saying. But he's awesome. I love him. I think he was on like Monsters in America or something like that.
Maybe. Hour two coming right up. Stay with us. Speaking of strange.